Here's a question that could change your entire perspective on everything if you ponder it long enough. Are you first and foremost a physical body with a soul, or are you an eternal soul who now occupies a physical body? Jesus told a story about a man who was mostly body in his mind. Soul was an idea. Very successful, it seems. His stockbroker would have probably confirmed it. He amassed quite a portfolio. Now, that was not his sin. His sin was that he loved it for its own sake. He lived in ease, privilege, and indulgence. It twisted his values. It was a moral drug that intoxicated him with all the wrong dreams. He shut God out and shut himself in. The gate to his private estate was pretty much the boundary of his moral sensibilities. Outside, children pleaded, the poor sobbed, and beggars died. His moral sense of justice had long since died itself. He lived for time, but ran out of it, and straight towards an appointment that was nowhere on his schedule. And there he arrived at God's gate. He came with an unquenchable thirst. He came with a conscience that erupted in his soul like thunder. He came too late. To a gate that would not open. A huge gulf was fixed. It wasn't that he had wealth, but that wealth had him. It was a fatal mistake that set his soul barreling toward the wrong address. A judgment he may have mentally believed in, but in life and practice he had ignored. A legacy? Hardly. We don't even know who he was. He's nowhere listed among the nation's boulevard of heroes. He was only known as the rich man. Now, why focus on such a story? Well, better put that question to Jesus. It's his story, his warning, and therefore we are mandated to tell it. So, the story of a successful failure will be the subject of today's message by Pastor Fred Penny. It's the old, old story. We welcome you again. Jesus saw each one of our lives as a limited-term investment into this world with what he has allowed us to have, to be stewards of, and who, by his grace, he has allowed us to be, not just for time, but for eternity. Let the saving love of Christ be the measure of our lives. Let's sing the words together.
Precious cornerstone, sure foundation, you are faithful to the end. We are waiting on you, Jesus. We believe you're all to us. Precious cornerstone, sure foundation. church. Let the righteousness of God be a holy flame that burns. Let the saving call of Christ be the measure of our lives. Really, you're all to us.
Reflecting on the theme of today's message, I thought of some popular lines written by Michael Josephson. It's called, Choose a Life That Matters. Ready or not, it will come to an end. There will be no more sunrises, no more minutes or hours or days. All the things you've collected, whether treasured or forgotten, will pass to someone else. Your wealth, fame, temporal power, will all shrivel to irrelevance. It will not matter what you owned or what you were owed. Your grudges, resentments, your frustrations and jealousies will all finally disappear. So too, your hopes, ambitions, plans, and to-do list will expire. The wins and losses that once seemed so important will fade away. It won't matter where you came from or what side of the track you lived on. It won't matter whether you were beautiful or brilliant. So what will matter? How will the value of your days be measured? What will matter is not what you bought, but what you built. Not what you got, but what you gained. What will matter is not your successes, but your significance. What will matter is not what you learned, but what you taught. What will matter is every act of integrity, compassion, courage, and sacrifice that enriched, empowered, or encouraged others to emulate your example. What will matter is not your competence, but your character. What will matter is not how many people you knew, but how many will feel a lasting loss when you are gone. What will matter is not your memories, but the memories that live on in those who love you. What will matter is how long will you be remembered, by whom, and for what. Father in heaven, I pray today for every soul that is seeking life's real purpose, who wants to shift priorities, to change direction, looking for a change of heart. Help us all to understand what is real and what is not, what is temporal and what is eternal, what really matters and what really doesn't. Now, someone among us may be grieving over lost opportunity and a life spent on things that now seems of so little consequence. Help them to experience your forgiveness, your grace, and help them to see you in a new and fresh way, to see that incredible things can be accomplished for eternity at any stage in our journey. Extend physical and emotional healing and forgiveness, we pray, and hope across this great radio audience. Bring restoration, we pray, even at this moment, to those who need to be restored. We thank you that you've heard us. Amen. We'd love to share with you in your need and accompany you in prayer today. 579-9678 will link you in. What better lines to repeat than in this song, I Worship Only. Very shortly, Pastor Fred Penny brings us a message that contains a warning enunciated by Jesus himself of what the love of wealth can do and a twisted concept of success, but with the alternative made possible in the gospel. But first, this song, sung by Louise Collins, fits very well with that message.
The world will try to satisfy that longing in your soul. You may search this wide world o'er, but you'll be just as before. You'll never find true satisfaction until you found the Lord. For only Jesus can satisfy your soul.
Would you like to get rich? Many will say yes, but many will say no, until, of course, the opportunity presents itself. Then hidden desires often will wake up. It's an issue of the heart, isn't it? Where the treasure is. What does Jesus say? Pastor Fred Penny takes us now to Luke's Gospel, chapter 16, for his message, The Story of a Successful Failure.
Good morning, Radio Church. All across the island of Newfoundland and up into the big land in Labrador, this is Pastor Fred Penny from Elam Pentecostal Tabernacle here in St. John's, 565 Kenmount Road. Good Sunday morning to all of you, or Sunday afternoon if you're listening later in the day. Today I want to read a parable of Jesus. It's the story, I like to call it the story of a successful failure. It's a famous parable told by Jesus that gets our attention about what really matters in life, and the threshold between life and death, between the here and now and the sweet by and by, between here and now and eternity. And so let me read the parable for you in Luke 16, beginning in verse 19. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. But in hell, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, "Father Abraham, have pity on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire." But Abraham replied, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received the bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us." He answered, "Then I beg you, Father Abraham, send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them, so that they will also not come to this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them." "No, Father Abraham," he said, "but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent." He said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." This is the parable of Jesus in Luke 16. Let me remind you of a few events in recent news and recent history. Right now in China and spreading to other countries of the world, we are all talking and thinking about the coronavirus, and people are dying. And it's a crisis that seems to be growing by the day, and the world is fearful of how fragile and how unpredictable life is and how this virus is killing people. It's a very sad story, but it reminds us of how fragile and unpredictable life is. Think back maybe just, a month? People are getting on an airplane, and that airplane is shot down by a missile from the Iranian government, and over 200 people are killed. Just going about life, trying to get home to family and loved ones, back to work, and tragically their lives are suddenly taken from them. Recently, we saw the NBA star, Kobe Bryant, full of life, enjoying his family, flying in a helicopter, and that helicopter crashes into the side of a hill, and he and the others on board, including his daughter, are instantly killed. I think of the pitcher from the Toronto Blue Jays a couple of years ago, flying an airplane in Florida, and he crashed the airplane and died. Think of Princess Diana, going back a while. Think of Mother Teresa. All of these people have died, and we are all reminded of how fragile life is. Now, as Jesus sets up this parable, he sets up a very, very strong contrast between a man who is rich and comfortable and successful and another man who is poor, a beggar, and a complete failure, as it would appear. But this is the story of a successful failure. This rich man, dressed in purple, that's a representation of luxury and the best life had to offer in those days. Fine linen. And Jesus tells us he lived in luxury every day. Now, sometimes, let's be honest, we envy people who live in luxury. They have beautiful cars. They have several homes. They take exotic vacations. They wear the best of clothing. They eat the best of food at the best restaurants. And we can look upon those people and say, wow, they're amazingly happy and successful, and we can envy them. Now, in the parable Jesus tells here, he talks about a person who's also a beggar, covered with sores, longing for any scraps of food. And if you've been in the downtown of a major city, you know there are people who live on the streets. They sleep on the sidewalk in a sleeping bag at night, trying to get some shelter from the wind and the cold. And we don't envy those people. We may feel sorrow and pity for them, but we certainly don't envy them. But the parable moves along quickly, and the time came when the beggar died. And what happens to the beggar is quite interesting now. Angels come and take the beggar to heaven or to Abraham's side. Abraham, of course, is recognized in Judaism as the father, the patriarch of the Jewish faith. And so the beggar is carried by beautiful, loving angels to the most precious place in all of Judaism, near Father Abraham. That's a surprise. This beggar is carried by angels? He's never had anybody pay that kind of attention to him on earth. And then the rich man also died. Of course, the parable is telling us now, if you're rich or if you're poor, if you're middle class, upper class, lower class, we all are going to die. And the parable, of course, is hinting about how do we prepare to die? How do we live our lives so that when we die, we're not surprised, but we've made plans, we've made arrangements, if you will, with God for how we're going to die. The rich man isn't carried by angels, and he isn't brought to heaven. He isn't brought to the side of Abraham. Quite the opposite. This rich man, who lived in luxury and comfort all his days, now finds himself in torment. He is in hell. His luxury and his wealth have not brought him to heaven. Maybe he had those things in his life as his God. He worshipped his money. He put more value in his money than in God. He wasn't really thinking about eternity. He was only thinking about today, about happiness and pleasure. And now, having died, he finds himself in a place of torment that the Bible calls hell. Now, the parable shows us this striking contrast because in the parable, the rich man can actually look across this great chasm, look up, and he can see Abraham, and he can see Lazarus. And so he's looking for help, and he calls out, "Father Abraham, have pity on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue." Now notice the contrast here. Earlier in the parable, the beggar is wanting scraps of food from the rich man's table, and it would appear he's been ignored, and the only comfort he had were the dogs licking his sores. And now the tables have turned, and the rich man is asking for Lazarus to just put a little bit of water on his tongue because I am in agony in this flame. He lived in luxury every day, but now he's in agony in the flames of hell. What a contrast. This man is a successful failure. And so Abraham replies to him, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received good things. Lazarus, not so good. But now Lazarus is in comfort and you are in agony." Earlier in life, the rich man was in comfort, beyond comfort. He was in luxury, and now he's in agony. And Lazarus had a tough life. He was hanging out on the street. Dogs were his only friends. But now Lazarus is in comfort in the presence of God and beside Father Abraham. What a contrast. And besides all this, Abraham says, there is a great chasm between us. So those in heaven can't help those in hell, and those in hell can't get out of hell and into heaven. We have to prepare for eternity in this life. We don't get to choose after we arrive in heaven or hell. We have to choose now. And then immediately the rich man thinks of his family. And he uses these words. Notice the words now. "I beg you." The rich man has become a beggar. The beggar who was Lazarus is now in comfort. The tables have turned. The rich man has become a beggar. He says, "I beg you, send Abraham, cool my tongue." And now he says again, "I beg you, send Lazarus to my father's house. I have 5 brothers. Let him warn them so that they will also not come to this place of torment." What a reality check it is for all of us. You know, friends, we sometimes have that expression, you know, when we're going about things and buying cars and taking vacations and playing golf and having some fun, all those things are good, right? Of course they are. We enjoy them. And sometimes we'll just say, well, you know, you got to live. You got to live it up. You got to enjoy life. Well, that's true, isn't it? But it's also true that we have to die one day and we have to prepare for death. We can't really live life successfully. We can't really live life well unless we think about dying and what we think about what happens after we die. And so this parable gives us a window into our two destinies. Will we choose heaven and the presence of God, the comfort of heaven? Or will we ignore God and live life for ourselves? And when death comes our way, we won't be ready to die. What a tragic story this is. Now, how do you and I prepare for death? Well, the Bible tells us that there is a day of judgment coming. And because of our sins and our selfish living, we have to ask God to forgive us of our sins. We have to come to Jesus, who died on the cross for our sins. And we have to say, Lord Jesus, be merciful to me, a sinner. And if you ask Jesus into your heart, he will forgive you of your sins. He will save you, and he will put your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And when you die, you'll go to heaven, and you'll have the comfort and the peace of God. This is our prayer today. This is the good news of the gospel, that you can go to heaven. You can enjoy eternal life. There is a heaven that God wants to give us. He says in John 14, I go to prepare a place for you. And he's coming back one day, and he wants you to go to heaven to be with him, because he loves you. And he loves you so much that Jesus died on the cross and took your sins. And some of you know all of this, but you've been ignoring God. You've been procrastinating. You've been living it up. You've been enjoying life. Life has been busy. Life has been fun. But I would invite you to put God at the center of your life, not at the back of your mind, but at the front of your mind. Invite him into your life. Invite him into your heart. Don't be a successful failure, but be a person who knows God, who loves God, who prepares not just for living, not just for retirement, but prepares for eternity and life beyond the grave. May God bless you today. Amen and amen.
You've been tuned to the old, old story. We've been challenged toward eternal things today. It's always been the mission of hell to pawn off the fake, to satisfy you with the temporary, to dress the tawdry in a dazzling robe, to cover the junk of this world with a shiny lure, to raise excitement to fever pitch. All these kingdoms will I give you. It's his promise to every generation. Then comes the letdown. The prize disintegrates. It was all a peep show, wasn't it? It was an apparition. You've been taken. We all write tragic biographies when we feed the body and starve the soul to death. Did you notice in the story one man died and was carried by angels? The other died and was buried. To one, death was a glorious release. To the other, it was the end of privilege. His net worth statement was now worth nothing. In reality, his life was worthless long before they heaped the soil on him. He was dead inside before the doctor could pronounce him dead outside. Now, one was not lost because he was rich, and the other saved because he was poor. It was simply the rich fell into the snare of his own wealth and got taken in the spell of it all. What will it matter when I come to the boundary? In the end, will a band of angels come to gather me home, or will they just simply bury me? Finally, will the man in the tower turn the landing lights on for me as I touch down in eternity? The words of Jesus near the end of the Bible now come to memory. Buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you might be rich. The real stuff that doesn't perish in flame and flood. Ivan Butler reminding you to join us next week, the Lord willing, same time, same station. The old, old story has reached toward you again, my friend, to remind you that your greatest need is a need of a Savior. To forgive, to restore, to instill hope. Grace that will be sufficient to save you now and keep you until that day.